The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And so they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus told him, "Go on your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, no other person that's been healed has been given a name. It was the man, the woman, the young man. Bartimaeus, that Mark would have used the name, we don't know for sure, but it's probably because the early Christian community that Mark was writing to knew Bartimaeus. And he was a prominent member of the community. He was a faithful disciple working to spread the good news of Jesus. Now, we don't know that for sure, but that's likely the reason. But look at this passage. He was a blind beggar at the side of the road, and as Jesus and a sizable crowd, including his close disciples, saw Bartimaeus, they saw a blind beggar, someone who was not worthy. And when he called out, they rebuked him. The teacher doesn't have time for you. But Jesus saw him differently. Jesus saw his potential. You know, I think in our world today, we suffer from blindness. All of us, much of us, and you hear it especially in our public discourse. So many people see things one way and other people see it a totally different way. But I wonder how God really sees it. And I suggest that that's an important question we need to ask and pray about many of our situations. For example, just random things that I see, the caravan of people coming from the Central America to the United States. Some people see criminals, illegals, that we need to keep out. Perhaps like blind Bartimaeus. Others might see people looking for a better life, worthy of what every human being would want for their children or deserve. One might even see the great potential of a people with such resilience to make such a difficult journey and what an asset they could be to a country. Which I wonder how Jesus, how God sees it and sees those people. Or in our political discourse, and the recent mail bombings show We are so divided, and it causes us anger, and sometimes we feel we must correct, destroy our enemies. But as much as we disagree, I think we agree on this, that God loves our enemies. And, yes, there is a truth, and some positions might be more right or wrong than others, but our job is to bring others to the truth. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And to act in ways that will show them and bring them to Jesus. The recent bombing or the shooting, forgive me, in the synagogue. Religious differences. Still, cause of hate and discourse. But I can tell you this also. We agree, I'm sure, and I know. But God created all people, and God, again, loves all people, and Jesus died for all people so that they may know the truth. And so, again, our call is to love. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it really comes up, I think, certainly in my life, as I listen to the politics, as I listen to the news, I start to feel that hatred and that anger at different positions. And I think it's helpful to stop and check ourselves when we're doing that and ask, well, I wonder how Jesus sees this. And I do know and believe that when he was on that cross, he looked out and saw much sin, many things he disagreed with. But still, he laid down his life in love for those sinners, us. And so, how do we see others? How do we see the world? We can see it with our eyes, we can see it with our opponent's eyes, we can see it with one position, position A or position B, but I suggest position J, the Jesus position. It's a prayer to ask to see things as God sees them. It's a beautiful prayer. We should look at our own lives and ask, Lord, how do you see my life? Look at those around us, the poor in our streets, those that threaten us and say, Lord, how do you see them? And how should I respond? Because what we see dictates which direction we'll go. And so seeing is important. And so let us pray and ask to have the eyes of God, that God may enlighten the eyes of our heart, St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, a beautiful prayer. And so I think a necessary time, a necessary thing for all of us to do in this time of great division is to pray that God gives us eyes to see the world and others as God sees the world. And so you know how I've been saying I'm trying to encourage everyone to pray at least 10 minutes a day, every day, and trying to somewhat talk about different ways of praying and have a prayer workshop on the first Monday of every month at 7 p.m. here in the church. And one way we prayed and talked about praying was to put yourself in the scene and imagine what's going on. And this particular scene is very easy to do that, right? Can you close your eyes right now and just imagine a blind beggar on the side of the road and life, many things passing by. And you're feeling left out, you're feeling isolated, alone. And so you cry out to Jesus. Lord, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. And he calls and he answers. And you get up, leave your cloak behind, and go to him. And he asks you, what do you want me to do for you? And you tell him your heart's desire. Lord, I want to see. Lord, help me see my life as you see my life. Help me to see those around me. Help me to see the world as you see. course I want you to see. Be healed. Your faith has healed you. And then he followed him on the way. If I can have you back, I think that's a very simple example of how to pray with the Gospels. And if we give it time, the Lord can speak to us in very powerful ways and teach us more about who he is and how he sees the world. This particular passage is really powerful in many other ways, and I'd like to share a few things with you. When the man calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me," that means that he recognizes he's the Messiah. The Jewish people believed that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. And also when he says, "Have pity on me," that's a phrase that's used over and over in the Psalms to God. And so this blind beggar, who in the Gospel of Mark, you know, Jesus had been saying, "Don't tell anyone who I am," and would not allow it to be publicly proclaimed. The first person who publicly proclaims who Jesus is, Messiah and God, a blind beggar. And he throws his cloak down to go to Jesus. Represents leaving your old way of life behind so that you start a new way of life. And of course, the disciples have been rebuking him, right? But Jesus told the disciples, "Don't rebuke him, tell him to come to me." We who are disciples, so often we prevent people from coming to Christ. "Oh, you know, don't sit in my pew. Can't have new people here in church. Takes up our parking." You get the idea, though, in many other ways. Our first call is to bring others to Christ and help them find that same relationship that we hope we've found. And then Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" A beautiful question, but it's the same question that Jesus asked James and John, who were very well off. They could see, and what do they ask for? "Can we sit at your right and your left when you come into power? Can we have wealth, power, fame?" But the blind man only wants to be whole or healed, to be a member of society, to be included and not left out at the side of the road. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God." And Jesus knew what this man really wanted, was going to ask for. He knew he was blind. He didn't have to ask that. But Jesus wants us to ask for what we need. And he wants us, like this blind person, to step out in faith. It must have taken great courage to not be able to see and to go through the crowd to find Jesus. Sometimes in our lives it feels that way, doesn't it? When we answer that what we think is that call of Jesus, but yet it still feels like we're blind and we take a step in faith. And Jesus heals him and says, "Go your way." And he can go any way he wants, but he's left his cloak behind. He wants to follow Jesus. And as we theorize, because his name was mentioned, he became a very prominent disciple. This is a beautiful way to pray, to allow yourself to be in that scene. And you know, there's a very famous prayer of the church called the Jesus Prayer. Are you familiar with that prayer? Where you say, as you breathe in, "Jesus, Son of God," and as you breathe out, "Have mercy on me." That prayer really came from this gospel passage. Being blind at the side of the road, crying out in faith, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me." The words are changed, but that's because that's what this man really meant. It was an act of faith. And so I invite you to pray that way. And I'm putting you on the spot, but do you still have that song you played yesterday? Can you play that right now and lead us? So let's just take 30 seconds to 1 minute to put ourselves again in the place of that blind man, to call out, as this song says, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me," and to ask God for whatever we want, but at least that our eyes may be more open to see our life in the world as God sees it.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Son of God, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, have mercy on me.